let's bow our heads and run to him today. Lord Jesus, without you, we can do nothing except do it on our own. And when we do it on our own, we usually fail very miserably. So, Father, I ask that you would just give us the courage this morning to go forward to you, understand the purpose of our creation, and understand the reason why we are being revealed now. We are being stretched now. We're being opened up now. We're being released now into the greater understanding of who you really are. That way we're getting an amen. Amen. This morning I had one word that bounced in my heart, and the word was worship. And I heard, go to the dictionary. So we're in the Bible dictionary, and I'm going to read to you as quickly as I can some of the highlights of what the word worship means. It's called reverent devotion, an allegiance pledged to God, the ritual of ceremonies by which this reverence is expressed. The English word worship comes from the Old English word worship, a word which denotes the worthiness of the one receiving this special honor or devotion. In the Old Testament times, Abraham built an altar to the Lord and called on his name, Genesis 12:8 and Genesis 13:18. This worship of God requires no elaborate priesthood or ritual. Do you hear that? Try it on. Say, I don't have to have a priesthood or a ritual to worship God. Isn't that cool? And it goes on. In the New Testament, worship was characterized by a joy and thanksgiving because of God's gracious redemption in Christ. This early Christian worship focused on God's saving work in Jesus Christ, true worship was that which occurred under the inspiration of God's Spirit. And that's what we're going to touch on. Now, there's a lot more, but that's where we're going to go today, because I believe we want to understand our commitment as the new covenant is a reality. Yes, they developed a priesthood in the old covenant, and it goes into details about that. But that was for then. And right now, we're facing many, many challenges as the church is trying its utmost to come into maturity. So the first place that I want you to kind of peek at is John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. John chapter 4. Verse 23 and 24. We're knowing that this was when Jesus was with the Samaritan woman, and she had had quite a bunch of relationships, and he's not after her for any other reason than, I believe, to let us know that the church would do the same thing. How many know we've seen many different gods worshiped in many different churches? Okay? And I'm not trying to be critical of the churches. I'm just trying to show you that Jesus says you need the living water, because that's the solution that he had for this woman. But verse 23 said, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth, that we are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. For they are, meaning I am, the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Now, you know, unless you understand why that it is a requirement for us to begin to draw on the Lord's Holy Spirit to get this reality going. Because you can talk about it till you turn green. But unless you begin to walk in it, begin to do the work, it's only going to be an experience in somebody else's heart. How many know living off of somebody else's experience is kind of boring? But when you're living under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and He draws you to Him. And I was blessed by some of the testimonies because you saw one thing show up three times. The engulfing of the person by the presence of the Most High. One showed up with like a cloud. The other, like a person with a mantle, correct? And the other was an encircling, a reality check. Sometimes we need to have the presence of God so tangible that we can't go through the next test. And the enemy, obviously, of your soul is to try to get you to quit before you reach that place. Because I've seen people say to me, well, you know, I didn't feel a thing. Well, that doesn't mean you should give up. That should mean that you would get more tenacious than ever. I remember when the Holy Spirit began to press me to go for more of God. And that's many years ago. But the bottom line was, I was getting tired. Anybody relate to ever get tired with God? Where are you? Do you really love me? Do you really care about what happens in my heart? Well, He says He does in His word, but I got to taste it for me, myself. It's got to be a personal relationship, because I could send you down the road here and visit all kinds of churches, and I'll guarantee you there's some awesome rituals. And they will turn you on in the flesh. Do I get an amen? But they only last for the flesh. The balance of the week, you've got to survive. And I lived in that. And I'm not trying to be accusatory. I'm just trying to tell you that, yes, there are other forms of worship. But the most important, that's Jesus Himself, is saying the kind of worship that the Father seeks is a real, tangible connection between the worshiper and Himself. Now, I want you to go to Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3, we're going to get another little peek. Because, you know, Philippians 3:3 is the verse that we're going to kind of pressure in. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh.
Whoa.
Now that's St. Paul taking care of all your natural understanding of how you can, you know, jump up and down, do this and that, and think that you're going to be glorifying God in all these exposed gymnastics, if you wish. Now, I have nothing against dancing before God, worshiping before God, in any way that God presses you to do it. But it's got to be His Spirit that tells you to do it. And most of the Christians, actually, when the Holy Spirit tells them to do something, they sit. Come on, I've got my hands up. I'm guilty. I don't like to demonstrate. But the Lord would press you. I remember, and I've told you this before, and I'll repeat it again, the very first time that the Holy Spirit was trying to get me to wake up, I was in Westfield, Massachusetts. I was at a service on a Tuesday night. And the Holy Spirit said, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. Well, guess what? I pulled off my right shoe. I was sitting in a pew. Praise God for the pew. And I noticed that my big toe on my right foot was already bouncing out of the sock because the sock had a hole in it. So guess what I did? I put the shoe right back on, 2 seconds. Nobody noticed. I couldn't do it. Okay? I could not do it. So I stuck my shoe back on and I said, Lord, I can't. I just can't do it. And I heard it again. Would you do it for me? Oh, God. Ooh. And I can just remember the steam coming out of my head. And then he says to me, take a chance. It took every ounce of energy to kick off both shoes. And I did. And then I wanted to take off both socks. You get the port of compromise? I was ashamed to walk down and walk out of the altar because I knew what he wanted. He wanted me to go and kneel down at the altar rail because there was an altar rail in that church. And I finally prayed in the Holy Ghost inside my heart. Now, there's worship going on during the whole process, okay? But I'll tell you truthfully, there was no worship coming out of this guy. There was panic. Finally, after praying in the Holy Ghost, trying to get my head out of the way, I finally had the courage to step out in the aisle and walk down and kneel at that altar rail. By that time, I was all sweaty. I was under such intense pressure that I thought I was going to blow up like your little beads there, ready to burst. And as I got to the altar, I remember just touching the edge of the little banister or step, if you wish. And the anointing that came upon me was so intense. The tangible presence of the Lord was just like, he was just loving me to pieces. And I would have missed it. I would have missed God. For my pride and my fear of being exposed and my fear of being laughed at. Now I got to have a couple of amens in here because I can't be alone. Okay? So what is worship? Worship is to take all your natural understanding and stuff it. Get rid of it. Stand firm in what he tells you to do and how he tells you to do it. I remember the first time he told me that I had to kneel down and prostrate myself in front of the altar. Oh, God, you sure you know what you're doing? Nobody's ever done this in church. Nobody. Well, he says, I'm asking you. I'm asking you. I went through the same thing with the sock bit. It wasn't any easier because I knew that I was going to be talked about. I knew that I was going to be laughed about. I knew that I would be the object of gossip. Are you catching on? And I finally decided, who am I serving? Who is important to me? Is it the Most High God? Or is it people's opinion of who I am and what I've done? Took every ounce of energy. But I finally relinquished and did it his way. The next probable most difficult thing that I ever did in my whole life in obedience to Christ Jesus was when he told me after one of the feasts that I had to go out and buy a white robe. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. I procrastinated for at least 2 weeks, arguing with God's Holy Spirit inside my heart. I can't do this, God. I can't do this. I can't do this. And of course, I didn't tell a person. There was nobody that was going to hear about it. Because after all, I wasn't going to be the object of somebody else's scorn again. Finally, why I'm telling you this is because, see, the first two levels were Kim having an argument with Kim. Okay? There was no connection to the body of Christ pushing buttons to make me do something. Okay? But on this one, God was pushing so hard. And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it as long as I live. This wonderful young lady came on a Monday morning And we had a Monday morning service for usually around 11, I think, right? I think around 11. And it would last till sometimes 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, whatever. We never knew. Okay? Okay. This lady says to me, I have a new CD. Would you play it for us? Because I really believe God has a message on here for this whole service this morning. I said, oh, sure. And I'm very excited about the CD. I didn't look at it. I just popped it into the machine, pushed the button, and off we went. And guess who the CD was intended for? And I wasn't happy, because whenever the Lord in that CD was, it was incredible worship, but there was one little sentence. And in that sentence it says, and you shall wear a white robe for me. What do you think happened to this great man of faith? I fell on my face before God, bawled my eyes out, and committed to obey. Committed to obey. Now, I have no clue where the money's coming from. I didn't even know where to go start looking. And it's kind of neat that you would talk about open window. Because finally, that's where the road came from. Open window in Chicopee. I remember driving home, hiding the bag, because I didn't want to look at it, but I had made the commitment. I bought that incredible robe, saying to myself, oh, God. And it was, again, God was pushing my buttons to obey him, not people. And I knew it was going to produce. I just knew it. I know people. And I knew what they talk about, because they would give me the phone calls and talk about this one and that one and this one and that one. And of course, obviously, they're going to talk about me. And the Lord said, are you going to be worshiping them or worshiping me? Do you understand? Putting anybody above God is false. Do you understand when you're worshiping the opinions of people and the opinions of those that are around you is really a form of worship to them and not to the Most High? It's dangerous ground. I'll tell you, everything in me was shaking because I knew the time clock was ticking. And on the very day of atonement, I said, Lord, we're going to be celebrating your day of atonement. It was, we had been preparing for the feast. I had seen visions. God had done an awesome job inside the church. The church was over beautiful. It's probably over the top beautiful. Fresh flowers had been brought in, plants, different gifts. The altar had an incredible canopy. It was just, I mean, you could just walk into the sanctuary and you could feel the anointing when you walk in, because the presence of God was so awesome. And now God begins to give me a vision of myself walking out the side door with that cotton picking robe on. And I'm arguing with him. I remember when I finally decided, because the time slot was coming, and we were having an evening service that night, and the Lord says, you're going to walk it out, but you're not going to do it when the worship begins. Okay. And he says, I'll tell you when. And already I was perspiring. So what I'm trying to make you aware of is there is a challenge to worship God in spirit and in truth. Because about halfway through the worship, the Holy Spirit said, just do it now. And I escaped to my office, put the robe on, and I could feel the sweat dripping off my arms. And I walked out of that sanctuary crying on the inside. And not one person said a word. Not one gossip was reported. And God was glorified. Do you know? If you don't face your fears, you'll never worship him. You'll worship your fears. Have I put the robe on after that? Yes, a few times when he tells me to. Do I still go through some of the same circles of war. Not as deep, not as profound. Why am I saying to you this? Because you need to face the reality. Before chapter 3 in the NIV, there's a major word. And it's done in italics. No confidence in the flesh. No confidence in my flesh. Verse 1, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. And he begins his whole ritual of different things that he did in obedience. And he talks about himself. I want you to go to verse 17. Join with others in fellowship my example. Brothers, take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For I have often told you before and now say it again, even with tears. Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Try that one on for size. Their minds are on earthly things. Try it on. Their minds are on earthly things. When my mind is on earthly things, what is missing? God is missing. But verse 20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven. Try it on. My citizenship is in heaven. And I eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. And that has a double meaning. That means about the body of Christ, being an example of our resurrected bodies, but it also speaks about the church, rising out of what it has been in perversion. You say, are you accusing others of being perverted? I'm accusing me. Because I lived in that place. And I thought I was okay. So much for my thinking. You see, when you and I use reasoning to really establish the plan of God, we're failing miserably. But when we use the Holy Spirit and allow him to investigate our thoughts. Have you ever asked the Holy Spirit what he thinks about your brain? About how you discern things? Believe me, his opinion just might shock you. Because he may say to you, yeah, you might be, like, he's usually gentle with me, you know. Yeah, you're partially right. And then he'll adjust my thinking. He'll adjust my way of progressing to go forward. I was talking to a friend this week, and this friend is going through a major test, and a lot of things are going on, and they're telling me some of the hardships that they're flowing through, and I heard 3 days. That's what I heard. So I related. You need to wait 3 days, and I believe God will show you clearly what he wants within 3 days. Sometimes you need to wait. Be patient. Be patient. Because you see, every action and reaction is either going to be worship or it's going to be what? Some form of selfishness. Some kind of fear tactics that you're bowing to. Are you perfect when you come to the Lord? Absolutely not. Are you perfect as you walk in obedience to him? I just try to tell you. I had war games, and you're going to have some too, and it's okay. But each time you conquer, each time you go forward, in spite of the fear, you become a worshiper of the Most High. Close your eyes. Lord Jesus, I pray for these that are here today, those that have persevered because of traffic being so difficult this morning, and more than anything else, those that are on the internet wondering, what is this guy talking about? Lord, give them a hunger. Give them and create a hunger in them that they may learn to worship you in spirit and in truth. And all of God's people said, amen. And may the anointing of his Holy Spirit persevere as you go forward. Amen and amen.